Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just like the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Sarah, and Sarah had a really fascinating UFO encounter in Western Australia back in 2012. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on, and you're joining us all the way from the UK, which is really exciting. It's great that we have listeners kind of all around the world, and I just find it so fascinating that you were living in Australia. You had this amazing UFO encounter, and you've kind of reached back to Australia to share the story. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Thanks for your podcast as well. It's due to your podcast that I am talking right now, because obviously I haven't spoken about it. And I said to you before we started the show, I haven't even told some of my best mates about the experience, just due to kind of fears of it, you know. And thanks to your show, we can come on and talk about it openly.
Thank you for the kind words. Would you be able to take us back to this day back in Western Australia in 2012?
Sure. Yeah, so I moved to Australia in 2008 and I was backpacking around. I was living in a town called Dunsborough in Western Australia, and I worked up at the Bunker Bay Day Spa as a holistic therapist. And it was the 5th of August 2012, and I had my usual day off. I was heading into Bunbury, the town about an hour over, to go to an exercise class. Before I went to that exercise class, I was a little bit early, so I thought I'll go and have a mooch around the town, grab myself a drink, went into this little hippie shop called the Blue Buddha. Thought I'll just go in there, have a little look around. And the lady at the counter was like, would you like to have a reading? We have George in today. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll have a reading. I'm not really into psychics, I have to say, despite being a holistic therapist. I've never really been into psychics, but I was like, oh, I've got some time to kill. I'll go and have a reading. So I met George and I had this reading. And at the time, I was feeling a little bit lost. I'd not long broken up with my boyfriend. So I was feeling a bit, you know, I needed a bit of guidance. So he did me this lovely reading. And one of the things he said in the reading was, you're going to have a spiritual awakening. So I left the shop and thought, didn't really think too much of it. I went to my exercise class, did my exercise class, and I was driving home. It was around sunset, which is normally around 6 or 7 in Western Australia. And I was driving down the freeway from Bunbury heading towards Capel, the Bustle Highway. And I started to remember, I was thinking about my day and I was thinking, oh, I feel really pumped for my class. And like, I was like just feeling awesome. And in my head, I was like, oh yeah, George said I was going to have a spiritual awakening. So I was like, I'm going to have a spiritual awakening. I'm going to have a spiritual awakening. And I was like had this mantra going in my head, and I was really feeling it to like the core of my being. And I was like, yeah, living the dream, you know, like living in Australia, and you know, it was all awesome. And then as I'm driving down the freeway, I've just gone past Capel, and the Bustle Highway goes from like double lane into single lane, and all of a sudden I see this like bright light in the sky, and I thought, oh wow, what a beautiful star, like that's really nice. And then I'm driving a bit more, and this what I thought was a star started to get bigger, and I thought, oh wow, it's a really bright planet, I wonder what planets are like showing tonight. And then as I'm driving down a little bit more, it's getting brighter and lower, and I thought, holy shit, like is that a plane? Like, and this is 2012, we didn't get much aircraft over. I think when I was living there for 4 years, and I only saw one flight go over, like one plane go over in the whole time that I lived there. And I was like, wow, that's like a really low aircraft. And as I'm driving along, it's as if I'm driving on a runway and there's a plane coming to land. It just looked like it was coming towards me, lower and lower. And I was like, my heart just started beating like so fast. I was like, what is going on? Like, I felt so scared. And then all of a sudden my sat nav went completely dead. I picked up my phone. My phone had switched off. And as this, what I thought was like a light aircraft, it wasn't. It ended up, it was a UFO, like a spaceship craft. It came over, didn't go all the way over the car into my head. It went over to the left-hand side, and I was nearly under the whole thing. And the only way I can describe it is it looked like the top half looked like Flight, you know, the film Flight of the Navigator. The top half looked like that. It was like the totally silver, like metal, and it had like the ridges in it, like Flight of the Navigator. But underneath, it was like a triangular shape, and that was totally flat, and it had lights underneath. There were like in the middle was a large circular orangey red light, and then I'd say like on the wing, but I mean it wasn't an airplane, but each side of the wing there was just like a bright white light either side. And at the front of this triangle underneath, it had another circular bright light as well. And they were all sat like flush to the surface. And then there was also like a blue on the left-hand side of it. There was like a blue, a bit like a blinker light. It wasn't blinking, but like, you know, you get a blinker light on an aircraft. It was like a small light on the left-hand side of it. And I could even see on the side of the aircraft, the side of the UFO, there was like some writing. It was like a rectangular, like metal plaque, like stuck to the side. And it had like writing on the side of it. And it looked like hieroglyphics of some kind. And I remember the first one, there was about 5 to 7 like hieroglyphics on the side. And the first one kind of looked like it wasn't an om, but it looked like an om. And then a couple over, I remember what, you know, you have the email sign. It's like the circle, and then you've either got like an arrow coming off it or like a cross coming off it. It kind of looked like that. It was a circle with like a stick coming off it, with either an arrow on the end or like a cross. So it looked something like that. I cannot remember the other letters or the numerals, because it all happened like so quick. And then it went off. There was no sound at all. I don't know how to still carry on driving, but I just think it was just pure shock. I didn't want to stop because I thought, like, what is this? What is, you know, I was so scared. It went off to the left-hand side of me, and I couldn't see it in, because I was driving the road. I didn't stop or anything, and it went off to the left-hand side. And I carried on driving, and I was like just totally in shock. And I thought, oh my God, what the F was that? Like, what is going on? And then my sat nav came back on, my phone came back on. So I instantly called my ex boyfriend up. I was like, you'd never guess. I told him the whole story. I was like, you never guess what I've just seen. Like, this just happened. And then I happened to just look over to the right hand side, and over the ocean, I could see about 5 to 7 blue lights, like in Zigerton. So whether that was like one big craft or whether that was like 5 or 7 smaller crafts, like the one that had just flown over me, I don't know, but they were hovering over the ocean. All I could see was the blue light. I couldn't see any of the metal. It was too far away. And I carried on driving. He just really calmed me down. He was like, I believe you, calmed me down. He was like, just get home. So I drove all the way back to Dunsborough. I literally parked up so quick in my drive and just ran into my house. And I remember being in my kitchen, and it just felt like a sense of, I don't know whether it was shock or whether it felt like a sense of electricity, or whether that was just the shock from it all. And I remember just ringing up my mum straight away. I was like, Mum, I've just seen this UFO. I was in hysterics talking to her, and she just like really calmed me down. She was like, call George, and just tell him what you've seen. So I managed to find George's number. And I called him up and I told him what I saw. He was like, okay, can you draw it? Can you write down just everything so you don't forget it? So I wrote it all down and drew it all in that. And I arranged to meet up with him again, like in the week. And I remember just being like so scared and so in shock at what had happened. But I couldn't sleep that night, and I went to bed with the light on, and I think I only had about a few hours sleep in the end. But when I eventually did go to sleep, I had like the strangest dream of being stood like in this dark room in front of like not a council of beings or people, like there was like a desk. And I remember seeing there were like two men, like both with one had like, they both looked human. And they had like cloaks on. They had like, one had really big eyes and looked like human-like. The other one was paler, a lot paler in the skin, and had like long blonde hair, both with these like cloaks on. Now, I'm not saying that's true and that was what was in that spaceship or whatever it was, but maybe that dream was my mind trying to comprehend like what had happened, or whether that was a bit of a memory coming back. I don't know, but I feel I need to explain that part as well, because I feel it's quite relevant. And then I remember waking up in the morning just still in shock, and I think I'd convinced myself for about a week that I'd lost the plot and I was going mad. I was like, I researched flight paths. I was Googling everything I possibly could to try and find an explanation for it. I was very lucky that I had such caring and positive friends in the spa that I worked with, because they just really took me under their wing. They believed me, and they really helped me through what was just the most strangest, shocking time of my life. And I owe a lot to them. And then I, after about a week, I kind of like managed to settle myself down a bit and thought, well, if I was going mad, then surely I wouldn't still be functioning, and I wouldn't know I was mad. You know, if you're bonkers, aren't you? You know, you don't know you're bonkers, do you? You know? So I've managed to like calm myself down. I was like, no, I know what I saw. There's no flight path. It was an unidentified flying object that I saw. And then ever since then, I've just kind of kept it to myself and the people closest to me, really, until now, speaking to you.
Wow, Sarah, that is quite a confronting UFO encounter.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. We didn't have any, like, back then we didn't have any podcasts. I didn't find any, because I searched, you know, I wasn't even really going on Facebook very much. Like, I mean, it's so good now that we've got all of this support from, you know, Facebook groups and podcasts like your own, you know. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and you know what? It was such a fringe time for having a UFO encounter, and to have that support from not only your family but your partner and your workmates, that's exceptional, because people today even have trouble finding a support network like that with an encounter like that.
Yeah, I think because I'm a realist, like I'm into holistic therapies and all for alternative therapies, but also like science as well. Like, I'm normally the first one to call bullshit on something, you know, and I think my friends know me, they trust me, they believe in me, and they know that I was telling the truth. You know, I mean, I'll take a lie detector, I'll, you know, you can analyze my body language and do whatever. Like, I know what I saw, and it was real. Like, And they know I'm not a liar. I wouldn't lie. Like, I've got no reason to. If anything, I'd rather not see it and carry on my life as normal, because, you know, it is just, it's changed, totally changed me. My whole thought process, everything just goes out the window. Your schooling, the history, you know, everything's just blown out. And it's mind blowing. Like, it really is mind blowing.
Yeah, you've experienced something that a lot of people would really dream of, because you went and saw something that's changed your paradigm completely.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
What does that make you think then? Because does that make you think what you saw was maybe out of this world? Do you think it was something different, like something not from this earth?
Well, I thought at the time, it's a spaceship. It's from somewhere else, it's not on this planet, you know. And because of the writing on the side of it, this wasn't, you know, English or anything like that. It was like symbols, you know. I've gone through every theory. I've researched, you know, different aliens, and I'm just totally mind blown. It's just, there's so many rabbit holes, aren't there? And I think you could get lost in them. And I try and bring myself back out from that and just think, okay, it was what it was. Like, will I ever find out the truth behind it? Who knows?
Yeah, that's a really good mindset to have, because it is so easy to go down these rabbit holes, and then it's hard to come out, because you can get absolutely hooked on this stuff. People get addicted to, you know, trying to find the truth of what they experienced. And, you know, it's a dangerous dark path to go down, because the will of wanting to know what that was can never essentially be satisfied.
Yeah, that's it. And I remember not believing in UFOs as well. Like, before this day happened, I was a bit skeptical. Like, you know, I'd researched things in the past, and you know, my ex-partner was into UFOs and what have you, and I thought, oh yeah, whatever, you know. I was very narrow-minded, you know, I think. And I remember my dad was into UFOs as a kid, and it's really funny because his favorite movie was that Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And me and my mum used to absolutely rip the piss out of him because he'd always watch that film. And even to the point where we used to mould his bangers and mash, like the guy that used to mould the mash or whatever it is, in moulding the clay, whatever. And we used to serve it up to him, sniggering, thinking we were hilarious. And I remember speaking to my dad the day after, I phoned him up, and the first thing he said to me was, "See, I bloody told you so." So that was my karma, I think.
Yeah, he had the last laugh on that one, didn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So you saw this unbelievable craft essentially right in front of you, and literally meters away. Like, this is like the holy grail of a UFO encounter that, you know, people dream of. And were you thinking this is definitely a UFO when you saw it? Like, were you trying to process it to think maybe this is just an aeroplane or anything like that?
Well, when it was looked like I was driving along a runway and it was coming lower and lower, I thought, oh my gosh, this plane's going to crash. Like, what is this? It wasn't till the light had kind of totally dimmed and it was literally over the top of my Jeep, and I was like looking up like, what? And it was just pure metal. It's nothing, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was just pure metal. You know, it didn't look like an aircraft. It was, you know, it didn't look like it was totally silent as well. And the lights underneath, it was just like magnificent. And it was also the size, the height up was about a two-story house. So it was obviously very low. And I could read the hieroglyphics, but they're symbols on the side of it. And it was about the size of the roof of like your house as well. Just like a normal.
Wow. So it was actually quite a large craft.
So large. Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. And the fact that this was making no noise, just flying silently
no
over
noise.
You.
And my sat-nav, I was so scared because my sat-nav went off. So whatever that was able to disable my sat-nav and switch my phone off.
Yeah, that's really scary. That's the type of stuff that you hear about in movies where You know, that happens just before you kind of get abducted type of thing.
Well, this is the thing. And my friend said to me, like, I don't, and my ex-boyfriend said to me at the time, he was like, do you have any markings on you? Do you think you're abducted? I said, no, because no time went. Like, I still got home at a normal time that I'd get home from driving back from Bunbury to Dunsborough. I don't remember, like, being abducted. If they did, then they've put me back exactly at the same time I was driving along. Like, the only thing I do have is that dream, which I only remember. That's the only thing I remember in that dream, is just seeing those two, like, people or beings, whatever they were. But they looked human to me. So, and like I said, maybe that was my mind trying to comprehend, like, what has happened.
Yeah. And the fact that you remember that dream so vividly is, like, that's a real point of interest for me, because I don't know about you, but for me, I swear I could wake up and I'd forget my dreams in about 2 minutes. It's just, I don't know, I just have one of those hopeless minds. But for you to remember such detail from that, that's kind of odd and makes me wonder if there is, you know, potentially something else to that. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
I think so. And I've never thought, well, I could be totally wrong, but I've never thought aliens. I always laughed at the grey alien book, you know, your typical like UFO movie with, I was always like, why do they have to look like that? You know, like, why make them look like that? I mean, they may do, I don't know. But I always thought, well, why don't they look like us? You know, like, surely there's got to be a race of beings that look like us, because who created us? You know, like, that's my mindset and how I've always thought, you know, like, I was, think they would look like us.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And I think, you know, a lot of the, you know, popular culture and the zeitgeist really leads a lot into these types of, I guess, ideas and I guess scenarios of like how aliens should look. And you know, it always really does raise a bit of a red flag for me when you hear people encountering things that are so stereotypical of that. And I really like your encounter, because it's so different and it's so unique, and even the dreams that you have are different. You know, you're not seeing the big almond-eyed, you know, gray alien with the black eyes. It's, you're seeing something that's different. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they may look like what was that film called? What was that film called where Cocoon, that's it. They might look like that. You know, they're just like light beings as well. I've thought of that theory as well. Like, maybe they just look like, you know, the ones in Cocoon. It's just a light, you know. But who knows?
Yeah, exactly. It's a really fun type of exercise to do, because, you know, if you really think of it in a scientific manner, that these things are growing up on, you know, alien planets, you know, they may not even be a carbon-based life form. They could be, you know, something synthetic or something just we can't even think of. And I think that's the fun part of these types of conversations.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think it's fantastic we've got so many platforms now to be able to do a bit of research on, and just some real thought-provoking things that you haven't thought of before. You know, we've got to kind of work together as a collective, no matter how wacky our ideas sound. But, you know, I do think we all need to come together and work as a collective, because I don't see us having any truth coming from any members of Parliament or, you know, any governing bodies or wherever. I don't see that, or NASA or whatever. I don't see any truth coming from them. I feel it's going to come from us as a collective.
And you know what? there's every chance that they don't even know themselves. It's one of these things.
Yeah, I said this as well. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Because so many people have these encounters and the, you know, the whole thing is, you know, there was an absolute disinformation act about UFOs and everything related to that. So that could just be the fact that, you know what, this is all too hard. We don't know anything about it. So let's just try to make people look silly.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Something interesting that you said there was that this kind of changed how you look at the world, because you've had this encounter with something that is, you know, potentially from out of this world. How does that change your thought process about how you just kind of go on with everyday things?
Yeah, it was really hard. After this encounter, like the first couple of months were quite hard to then, I still got up and went to work and, you know, I had to, you know, but the more I spoke about it, the more to the spa girls, the more I could kind of process it and just thought, okay, it is what it is. I've just got to take it for what it is and I need to crack on with life. But you do question everything from your education when you're younger, all the history you've learned, you know, are we being lied to? It was really hard to, it was really hard to switch off at some stages, especially because I thought about it every day. Not a day has gone past where I haven't thought about this encounter, but I did manage to suppress it, especially when I had my first child. I was, you know, everything's up in the air when you have your first child, isn't it? It's just, you know, you really need to kind of level your head, you know, and just think, focus on your child. And I just thought, okay, I just need to bury this. So I did. I buried it for years and years and years. And it wasn't until moving back to the UK and then 2020 hit and I had like so much more time on my hands to think. And then every day it just came back. I was thinking about it and it's like, right, okay, there's something in this that I need to, it's got to come up. It's got to resurface. And I spoke to my mum about it. I was like, Mum, I'm thinking about this every day. Like, I can't get it out of my head. You know, and she was like, maybe you should have some regression or hypnotherapy or something. Like, it obviously needs addressing, you know. So I did. I sought after having some quantum healing. Have you ever had that done before?
No, I've never heard of that before. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Quantum healing. Well, I don't think I'll do it much justice, but so it is a bit like hypnosis. And it's, you know, Dolores Cannon, she does the hypnotherapy and the regression to take you back to previous lives or future lives or what have you. So I found a guy in my area that does this and I went and had a session with him and it was absolutely amazing. So I was able to like do the regression back to some past lives. And then we also went to the day that I'd had the encounter. Now, nothing came up that I'd been abducted or whatever, but what I did get was that 23, I'm not saying I missed it, Meg, here. I'm not a psychic or anything, but this is just what was said in my my quantum healing, was that 2030 is going to be the big reveal. And that I could tell the difference between you're not channeling, but a little bit of channeling. So you can tell the difference between yourself talking, your higher self, and then perhaps some other being talking to you. I could tell a difference between the three, if that makes sense.
Okay, so it almost kind of sounds like a bit of a CE5 kind of contact type of thing.
It is, yeah. Sorry, I should have said I did find this guy via CE5. So, he put me onto the CE5 work after I'd been to see him, which then led me to the Facebook groups and then yourself. So everything seems to have fallen into place, like since seeing the quantum healing guy.
Yeah, that's really interesting because the whole CE5 thing, like, you know, everyone has their own kind of take on it and their own kind of experiences with it. And, you know, I'm really skeptical about it, but to be truthful, I've never done it myself. So, you know, I feel like I don't really have any kind of authority to say, hey, that's great or that's not great or it's real or it's not. It's something I really do need to look into.
Yeah, I because I've joined the groups, I've read the manual and I haven't so I've joined the groups on Facebook, I've read the manual, but I haven't actually physically gone out and done any yet, mainly due to lockdowns, but mainly due to I've still got so much fear. Like, I still just, it was such a crazy thing to have happened. It's not like I'm, because I just feel like if I go out at night, it's just going to happen again. Like, I really want to be with people when it happens, but it's just that I've just got to feel the fear and do it anyway. I know I've just got to. I've just got to find the right group as well in my area to go out with. And it, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? Do you know what I mean? Just got to feel the fear and do it anyway. But yeah, it's on my list. It's on my list to do and to meet up with the CE5ers in my area.
Was that something you have difficulty with after that experience, is driving on your own or being alone?
Yeah, for quite a while, driving at night. Like, if I finish, because the sun sets so early in Australia, doesn't it? You know, you literally finish work and the sun will set and it's like, oh, wow, it's only like 7 o'clock. So, yeah, driving home, driving anywhere, I was constantly looking up. And then sometimes I'd go to another exercise class and I think, oh, shit, like, don't let it happen now. Don't let it happen now. And I'd be like, okay, it's not going to happen. You know, it's just this constant like mind chat of, okay, not now. Don't come now. Wait till I'm with someone. You know what I mean? I need somebody to hold my hand. But I think I've always been a bit of a scaredy cat. Like, I'm not into, you know, horrors. I'm not into like any, you know, anything like that. I don't like any of the paranormal stuff. Like, you know, I just, it freaks me out. I just, yeah. And I know people will be like, oh, man up, you know, like, we would love to have the experience that you've had, but I know, I just, yeah, wish someone would be with me if it happens again. So that's what I'm working on next, I think, is just building up the courage and just feeling the fear and just going out with these CE5ers and just seeing what happens.
Yeah, and it's a really big step because, you know, there's, you know, people have PTSD for encounters like this, you know, and that's something that's just so very, very real and so, so personal. And to try to explain that to someone who wasn't there, who doesn't understand, who, you know, let alone doesn't believe in UFOs, would be let alone impossible. And the fear that you would have, I completely understand that, because you experienced something that was life-changing. You don't really understand it, and who's to say that the next one would be so kind, so to say, if it ever did happen again.
I think I was quite lucky after it happened, because I had all the spa girls, you know, I had a lot of treatments done, I felt like I had a lot of support. So but yeah, I definitely reckon perhaps there was a bit of like post-traumatic stress afterwards.
Do you think you'll ever tell close friends about this type of encounter now?
Yeah, so it's funny because I've not told them. Like, my best mates in the UK don't know, even though I tell, you know, they're my best mates, I've known them since we were like 5 years old. I still not told them, just because they're not. So my friends in Australia and New Zealand, they're very you're very forward thinking over there and very alternative, and working in the spa industry, it's like, you know, everyone, it's really just a real open, awesome place, isn't it, really, to be? Everyone's forward thinking, whereas England's a little bit different. I'm not saying everyone's like this, but it's a little bit different. So yeah, I think I will, but I think it's got to be the right time. I have tried to tell them a couple of times, but then the phone's rung or something's happened and then I haven't had the chance to. But yeah, I think after this podcast I really ought to.
It could be a really soft way to kind of share your encounters with people and just say, look, I'm not the only person that this has happened to. This guy's spoken to hundreds of other people who have had these really weird and unusual encounters that can't be explained.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So, Sarah, has your interest in UFOs made you want to look into this further? Because I know you're looking into CE5 and stuff like that, and you said you almost went down this kind of rabbit hole. Is there something else that kind of calls you to look into it? Do you feel like you have some type of connection to it?
Yeah, I just wondered why I do think that there was there's definitely something in the fact that you know, George the psychic said, you're going to have a spiritual awakening. Like, I'm not saying he predicted that this was going to happen. I think maybe he planted the seed in my head and I was like on the vibration of, like, you know, you have like law of attraction and manifesting, and I was just feeling it to my core. I think maybe I opened something up with like, yeah, hello, come to me, like, speak to me. Do you know what I mean? I think there was definitely something in how I was feeling driving along that road and what I was thinking that definitely helped perhaps them think, oh, hello, yeah, would you like a spiritual awakening? Bam, here you go. You know, yeah, there's definitely something in that.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll tell you what, I was baiting you for that kind of answer because it's one of these things that, you know, I don't think CE5 calls to everyone.
No.
It certainly doesn't call to me, but that's not to say that I'm never going to try it. But what you kind of encountered almost sounds like you not wished for this thing to happen, but you weren't exactly asking it not to show up.
No. I mean, I've tried it with a lotto win and it didn't work. So, but I do think you have to just be true. It's not like you can go out in CE5 and just summon them down or whatever they are, you know, like they're going to choose to come when they want to. I mean, you know, they're far more greater than what we are. Well, I think they are far more greater than what we are. But yeah, I just think you just got to be, true and innocent and in your thinking. Yeah.
How often are you looking up into the sky now?
Yeah, every night. I have never not always looking up. Yeah, always.
Yeah, yeah. You've got this natural curiosity burnt into you now, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And it's like I try not to think about it too much. I mean, because I'm a mum. I've got two girls. Like, I'm a mum. Like, work, you know. You have to have – it's hard to have the balance between this – normality of life and then also this out of world or whatever it is. It's really hard to find a balance between the both of it, you know.
The thing is, you still have this normal life that you need to live, and then you kind of have this amazing secret that kind of sits on the surface that, you know, you've experienced something that is possibly from out of this world, and, you know, that's a really tough story to share with people.
It is, because people just think you're bonkers, you know. They just, you know, think, oh, whatever, you know, what was you smoking? Do you know what I mean? Like, you just think you're either on drugs or you've lost the plot. Like, but it's not. It's so real and it's happening. And we, you know, just we've got to wake up to this, you know. But I guess everyone will wake up in their own time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. You know, everyone's on their own journey, their own path. And
that's it.
What I really like, though, is in this modern day and age, we almost seem to be on this path to disclosure, and to have a UFO encounter is no longer this weird taboo thing that only happens to the crazies of the world. It just happens to normal people.
Yeah, that's it. It's just normal, everyday people. Like, yeah. And I didn't think I was doing anything special. At the time, I wasn't, you know, I didn't even know what CE5 was at the time. I was just literally driving up the road feeling really awesome, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm. Well, Sarah, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Your encounter was absolutely fascinating. I love the fact that you have these amazing dreams about these kind of alien-like creatures that aren't the status quo. And I really do love the fact that you kind of look more into this, even though that you're not quite sure, you know, like you're not 100% on board with it all, but you're willing to give it a red hot crack and, you know, look more into it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much. Yeah. I just try and keep it real as I can.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.